and washed us from our sins
in his own blood, and made us, appointed us,
chose us,
redeemed us, made us kings.
David's no more a king than I am
in Christ. I reign with Christ. I'm a king.
Kings and priests.
Unto our God. Unto our Father. To him be glory. To him be the glory and dominion.
Forever and ever. Amen.
It says here in verse 1 that God said to Samuel, verse 1,
now you fill your horn with oil.
And you go to Jesse's house.
I've provided me a king among his sons.
And God sends his preachers into this world
to preach the gospel
to the sons of, not Jesse, but Adam. Sons of Adam. Why? Because we anoint, we carry our horns with oil, our hearts with the word, our hands with the gospel. Preach it, because God's provided him some kings and priests among the sons of Adam. They're there. David was already chosen. Already chosen. Name already in the book of life. Already king in the purpose of God. But not yet anointed. Not yet called out. And he says to Samuel, Samuel said, now when King Saul hears about me going down there and anointing a king, he's going to kill me. But the Lord said, this is the way it has to be done. Take a heifer, take a lamb. Take a lamb with thee. Going to kill the lamb and offer a sacrifice. And have a worship service. God Almighty is going to reveal his purpose in saving a people and anointing a king through Christ the Lamb. Just like we come together, the Lord has a remnant according to the election of grace now. But they're called out under the preaching of the gospel, under the preaching of Christ. Samuel went down there and called Jesse's family and all the people, everybody. He said, sanctify yourself. There's something important going on. Set apart this time. Sanctify is to set apart. Set apart this time. Make a special effort. Put everything else aside. Gather with me. And we sacrifice the lamb. Shed its blood. Burn its body. Christ's death. Christ's gospel. Christ's blood. Christ's righteousness. We come to God in Christ. No other way. We come before God in Christ. And while we're here, worshiping him and calling on his name, he's going to reveal who his elect are. That's what he says in verse 3. He says, and you call Jesse to the sacrifice, to the gospel, to the worship service, and I'll show you what to do, and you shall anoint unto me him whom I name. I'll name him. I call my sheep, he said, by name. I know them. I call them by name. And that's what Samuel did. He went down there and offered a sacrifice. And they all came before him. And the Lord revealed his elect, his chosen. Now, here's some things about this. The first thing you noticed in reading this is everybody's here at the service. Except one. That's David. And he's out there. He's 20 years old, but he's the youngest. All these other fellows are older than he and experienced and all this and famous and all this. And he's out there taking care of sheep. And I'll tell you why he's out there. Because his own father had no idea whom the Lord had chosen. He had not any idea in this world that God had made David a king. When the news of Samuel's visit came, he got all his sons together and he said, now, David, as far as I can see, and God, man sees not as God sees, Man looks on the outward countenance. God looks on the heart. He said, David, as far as I can see, you're not he. This is not he. You remember when David walked in down here? Look at verse 12, the last line. The Lord said, this is he. His father Jesse said, this is not he. And sent him out to take care of the sheep. His father didn't even suspect that he was God's elect. And his brothers had no great regard for him. His brothers had no great regard for him even after this. It was like the brothers of Joseph. This is sad. But this is a sad commentary on this day, too. You listen real carefully to me now. Let me tell you something. These brothers, here was God's elect, God's king, man after God's own heart, man called a sweet psalmist, a mighty man, valiant in war, prudent in all matters of speech and comely. And yet his seven brothers had no use for it. In fact, really, you can read it later, when he came down to meet Goliath, when they were all running from Goliath and the armies of the Philistines, and young David, 20, 21 years old, came down there to meet the giant sent by God, declaring, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? These brothers made fun of you, remember? They said, what are you doing down here? And you know what they're saying? Who's taking care of those few sheep? Who's taking care of those few sheep you left up there? Now, let me show you something. Turn to John 7. John 7. Now, this is something everybody here needs to listen to. John 7, verse 5. Let's start with verse 1, John 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. He would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand, and his brethren, who are we talking about here? His brothers, the sons of Mary and Joseph. His brothers, and there were three or four of them, they said to him, depart hence and go to Judea, that your disciples may see the works you do. No man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. Now, if you really do these things, show yourself to the world. My friends, look at verse 5. His brethren didn't believe on him. His brethren were raised in the house of God. In human flesh, watched him, observed him daily, and he grew in favor with God and men, but not with them. Not with them. I'll give you this scripture. A prophet is not without honor except in one place, in his own home. Among his own brethren. Isn't that something? And here was God's elect, David, man after God's own heart. The Spirit of God dwelt upon him, the scripture said. The Spirit of God dwelt in him. And his own flesh and blood were blind. And filled with their religious self-righteousness and pride and arrogance, perished in his very presence. He was such a blessing to others, but never to them. I don't know anything that's sadder than that about that. Don't know anything any sadder. Jacob's brother was Esau. Jacob, loved of God, chosen of God, honored of God, great, 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 great grandfather of the Son of God. But his brother hated his guts. So I say this to you who are believers in God's elect and love the gospel and love Christ. Don't be amazed if you can be of no help whatsoever to those who carry in their veins the same blood. Because it's the sign of the time. It's been all the way through the way. And to you who have those in your home and household who know God, I warn you, you're not going to get any other messenger than the one you got. That's true. But David's election was unexpected. His father didn't. His father had no idea God had chosen him. His brothers had no idea. And the prophet had no idea. Listen, Samuel didn't know who God's elect was. Listen to him in verse 7. When this great big strapping oldest son stood before him, the Lord said to Samuel, no, Samuel said, verse 6, look, came to pass when they were come and he looked on Eliab, he said, surely we can stop preaching now. We can sit down to dinner. The Lord's elect is before him. This is it. The Lord said to Samuel, don't look, don't be deceived by what you see. Look not on his countenance or the height of his stature. I've refused him. The Lord doesn't see as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance and God looks on the height. And Samuel went through this 7 times before he finally realized that the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. No one else. He wrote the Lamb's Book of Life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He knows them that are his. And let me tell you something else. His father didn't know he was God's elect. His brothers didn't know it. The prophet didn't know it. And you know who was the most amazed one of all? David. That's right. He had accepted his lot as the shepherd. He's sitting up there in the mountain with those sheep, content to be a shepherd, playing his, whatever he played, his lute, singing, watching the sheep. He saw a messenger coming up the hill. I wonder why he's coming up there. He was content to care for his sheep. And Jesse sent a servant. I know Jesse sent a servant because he sent somebody to keep the sheep while David came home. They weren't going to leave those sheep up there without somebody to care for them, so Jesse didn't go. He sent a servant to fetch David, someone to stay with the sheep. And so David left and started home, and I'm sure he was shocked. And he wondered, why are they sending for me? I'm the youngest, not respected, not held in any high regard. When everybody else is having the feast, I'm up here taking care of the sheep. But he came and he stood before Samuel. I want you to look at verse 12. And he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy. He was sunburned, an outdoorsman. Strong and bold, 20 years old. And he was of a beautiful countenance. The word there in your concord, in your center reference, is pair of eyes. He had eyes that were clear, not deceptive, and honest. The Spirit of God was already with this young man. He's God's chosen. He's special. Not to men, but to God. He's special. He has a confident, honest, clear set eyes, not deceptive. He was good to look at. He carried himself with kindness as well as majesty in his bearing. But as I told you, he was no child. He was a young man. And he sums up how he felt about God choosing him. Turn to 2 Samuel 7. Later on, we find him summing up what he felt about God choosing him. After he was crowned king, in 2 Samuel 7, verse 18, then went King David in and sat before the Lord. David had many of these times where he sat before the Lord, privately, humbly. He sat before the Lord and he said, "Who am I? Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you brought me hitherto? Brought me from the sheepfold, from the open mountain, from disrespect, from nobody and nothing. And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the matter of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more than that for thee, more unto thee? What can I say? For thou, Lord, knowest thy servant. Listen, for thy word's sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done all these great things to make thy servants know them." Now that's exactly how he felt. That's how he felt back yonder, and how he felt as an old man, a king. Verse 22, "Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, there's none like thee, neither is any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. You've done this for your word's sake, according to your own heart, have you done these great things and made me to know them." The songwriter said, "I am amazed that God could love me, so full of sin, so covered over with shame, make me to walk with him who is above me, cleansed by the blood of his redeeming name. I am amazed that God would grant salvation. Naught but the cross could take away my sin. Through faith in Christ, eternal life he gave me. Now he abides forevermore within." Remember that scripture there in 2 Samuel 7. Just take it to be our own. Who am I, O Lord, that thou should do such great things for me and my house? Well, let's just see something else here in verse 7. What God said to Samuel. Now, David's election and anointing was unexpected, and ours is too. Ours is too. But the Lord said to Samuel in verse 7, "Look not on his outward countenance, on the height of his stature. I've refused him. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looks on the outward appearance. How else can we look? But the Lord looketh on the heart." The Lord looketh on the heart. And here's where the work is begun. Here's where spiritual life starts. Here's where the grace of God is revealed. God said, "I have found David to be a man after my own heart." And I'll tell you why. Because God gave him a new heart. God gave him a new heart. This young man up there on the mountain, God had given his spirit a new heart. Different in here. God made him different. God says, "I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. Put my word in you, my law in you. Write it in your heart." The heart, that's where the issue is. He says, "Keep your heart out of it are the issues of life. My son, give me your heart. With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness." I know David was a man just like his brothers. David was a son of Adam just like all the rest of them. David was a sinner by birth as everybody else. David was a son of Jesse just like the other seven. David was a man of flesh and blood and subject to death. But God made a difference. And he made the difference in the heart. That's where the difference was made, in the heart. And I asked myself this question. What was the heart of David like? This new heart. This heart God gave him. And I've come up with 4, 5, 6, 7 things I want you to hear. I'll be brief with them. But here's 7 things about the heart of David I found from his writing. First, his heart was a believing heart. He believed God. He actually, like Abraham, believed God with limited revelation or whatever revelation he had, but he believed God. He said, when I consider the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, the things thou hast made, he said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. He's with me. His rod and his staff comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He believed God. He had a believing heart. And secondly, he had a broken heart. You read Psalm 51. The sacrifices of God, he said, are a broken heart. A broken and a contrite spirit, O God, thou wilt not despise. He wrote in Psalm 34, the Lord saveth such as be of a broken heart. He had a humble heart. I want you to turn to this scripture in 2 Samuel 6. This is David. This is another one you want to underline and read again and again. But in 2 Samuel 6, I'm looking at the heart of David now. 2 Samuel 6, I'm going to read verse 20, but I'm going to tell you something first. You see, in the reign of King Saul, the Ark of the Covenant, with the mercy seat, the Ten Commandments, that was in the Holy of Holies, was captured by the Philistines and taken away. When David became king, they brought the ark back to Jerusalem, back to the temple, back to the Holy of Holies, back to the Day of Atonement. And when they brought the ark on the shoulders of the priest, and the people all singing and rejoicing, and the ark in a processional was brought back, David the king, king over all of Israel, sovereign reigning monarch, took off his robes and crown, distinguishing features, and robed himself in a linen girdle and went out there in front of the whole processional, the singers and the trumpets and the priest and the ark and the people out in front, and danced before the ark. That was a slave's place. Usually that was some kind of person picked up just to dance out there. But as the king. And when he came in his palace, put back on his robe, came in his palace, his wife, Michal, daughter of Saul, met him. And she said, 2 Samuel 6, verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David. This is his wife. She said, oh, listen to the sarcasm drip. How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said, here's David's heart. Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me before your father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of Israel, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than this. I will be base in my own sight, and in the sight of the maidens which you've spoken of them shall I be had in honor.
And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. That's the heart of David. Humble. He believed God. It's God's elect. He had a broken heart. He had a humble heart. I'll take the lowest, basest, meanest place before God. And then those who know God, of them I'll have more honor. You exalt yourself and you'll be abased. You humble yourself and God will exalt you. And then fourthly, he had a meditating heart. I want you to turn to Psalm 63. Here's a heart. It's just not a heart in the church service and a heart when people around discussing religion. But David had a meditating heart. He meditated on the things of God. Look at Psalm 63. Verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied. Well, let's read verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee on my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice.
He meditated. In the quiet times, in the evening shadows, in the night time, he lay in his bed and thought on his God.
That's a new heart. And then it was a holy heart. I want you to turn to Psalm 119. While you're turning to Psalm 119, let me quote a psalm. He said in Psalm 18, I love thee, O Lord. I love thee, O Lord. My strength, my rock. I love thee, O Lord. Now look at Psalm 119, verse 97. Way over in this psalm. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. How I love thy word. I love thy commandments, thy statutes. Oh, how I love thy law. I love your way. It's not grievous. It's not burdensome. It's not rules I hate. I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. For they what? Thy commandments are ever with me. I love them. He had a holy heart. He had a desire to be like God. And then, in the next place, he had a grateful heart. I read Psalm 65, a grateful heart. I read that while ago when he was sitting before the Lord and thanking him for his mercies. But here, this sums up how he felt. In Psalm 65, verse 4, blessed is the man, blessed indeed, highly favored. Psalm 65, 4, blessed is the man whom God chooses and causes through Christ, by his blood, by his sacrifice, causes by justifying him to approach unto God. Not only to approach unto God, but dwell in God's courts and be satisfied with the goodness of his house, even his holy temple. Blessed, oh, thankful, grateful that God didn't leave me alone, pass me by. David had a believing heart. It's a new heart. A broken heart. A humble heart. Meditating heart, holy heart, grateful heart. He had a growing heart. That's right. I'm not intimating that David, as a 20-year-old, had arrived. The Apostle Paul, in his last epistle, says, I haven't arrived. He said, I have not laid hold upon that for which I've been laid hold of by Christ. I'm not perfect. neither am I already perfect. But David grew. David grew. And he wrote this, Psalm 1. I want you to listen to it. I want you to listen. Blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But here's the blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of the Lord. And in his word, just read it, does he meditate? Meditate day and night. Meditating heart. Dwelling on God. Set his affection on things above. And listen. And he'll be like a tree. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will never wither. Whatsoever he doeth will prosper. Now picture a tree. And God plants his trees. One time the Pharisees were offended by what our Lord said, and his disciples called his attention to it. They said in Matthew chapter 15, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended by what you said? He said, leave them alone. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted, we rooted up. So God plants his trees. He shall be like a tree planted. God plants his tree. Secondly, God's trees bear fruit. That's what he said. He's planted by the rivers of water, and Christ is the water of life, and he brings forth his fruit, God's fruit, in his season, in God's season. There's no doubt about it. He brings forth fruit, love, joy, peace, humility, patience, faith. And another thing about trees, God plants them, they bring forth fruit, and they grow. Trees grow. How do trees grow? They grow upward. They grow upward. Joyce Kilmer said, I think I'll never see a poem as lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks to God all day and lifts its leafy arms to pray. Trees grow upward in faith, peace, rejoicing. They grow upward. And trees grow downward, rooted. The longer they've been there, the tougher they are. Walking through the park last night, Darcy and I said, I want you to look at those big, huge trees. Been there for 100 years, 150 years. Wonder how deep those roots are. Those little trees they just planted, you boy, you can shake them. You used to ride trees down when you was a boy. I got the worst whipping for that one time. My uncle, we went out to his farm, and we got on his pine saplings and rode every one of them until they was all bent over like this. You know, climb it and then ride her down. Those little trees are so, you won't ride an oak down. Nobody else is going to ride it down either. Its roots, it's established, it's stable, it's rooted in him. That's the reason these old men around here, young fellas, you need to watch them. They're good examples. Listen to them. They stood the test of time and toil and trouble and trial. That's right. Listen to them. Listen to them. Their roots are deep. The very wind one day is going to bend you, bent them one time too. And they can tell you what's coming. They can tell you. I've already been there. A tree grows down, and then the tree grows out. It grows out to give shade to the weary traveler. You don't run under a pine sapling to get out of the rain. You run under one of these great big oaks.
And he'll help you.
Keep you out of the wind and the rain. Give you shade when you just don't think you're going to make it. You get under the shade of that big old oak tree. And children, they build a swing on their big arms, you know. Get that rope swing, you know. Swing on that. Support them. And children climb up in these big trees and look down on the world. They're high up in that old tree. And they build a tree house in that tree. That tree's stable. Is there and you move there and it'll be there and you're gone. God planted it. Do I believe in election? Is any doubt in your mind? I believe God's salvation of the Lord. Well, I'm going to quit. But yeah, I'll give you four things and quit. David's election brought those inward, that new heart. God gave him a new heart. Planted him. But the Spirit of God came on him. Spirit of God came on him. And secondly, he was bold to confess his Lord. His brothers ridiculed him, but he answered them, didn't he? He said, "Is there not a cause?" And he told old Goliath. Goliath came at him with the sword and all these things. He said, "I come before you in the name of the Lord. And he's going to give you to me this day. I'm going to defeat you." Confess Christ. And then he had trouble with their old king. That old king, Cecil, gave him trouble for a long time. Old Saul. Old Saul just wouldn't go away. And God's made you a king under Christ, but that old man you've been under so long, he's going to give you trouble till God kills him. And Saul gave David trouble till God killed him. And when God killed Saul, he crowned David. He crowned David. God chose him. God loved him. God gave him a new heart. God anointed him. God gave him his spirit. And he came through some troublesome times, and God crowned him. And Paul said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. There's laid up for me in heaven a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but to every king, every priest whom he chooses, to all those who love his appearance." We've been chosen, and by God's grace, you can write this down. We'll be crowned. But even there, Mike, go over that piano and sing for us that song I was quoting. "I am amazed that God should love me, so full of sin, so covered over with shame, and make me to walk with one who is above me, cleansed by the power of his redeeming name. I'm amazed that God would grant salvation to such as I."